You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Bernhard Günther. Bernhard grew up in Munich, Germany. He moved to California in 1994 to study music, which led him on a journey of self-discovery, healing, and bodywork. Over the past 20 years, he has been involved with the practice of yoga, qigong, dance, psychology, astrology, mythology, shamanism, as well as various spiritual and ancient esoteric teachings. He has made several films, which can be viewed on his website, www.veilofreality.com, where he posts his popular blog, along with articles for Wake Up World and free webinars. His other site, www.bernhardgunther.com, covers integrative bodywork and holistic coaching. You can also find him on Facebook. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Bernhard. How are you? Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Now I can. Only when you talk.
Okay, good. Nice.
So, I was going to ask you a little bit about how you mentioned the shadow elements that were crucial to your development, and I thought it might be kind of interesting to start there to find out a little bit more about that, because so many people are dealing with that or will be dealing with that in the near future, and it's something that has to be addressed. And so maybe you could start with a little bit of that and tell us what happened with your journey.
Well, basically, as you read my short biography, I moved to Los Angeles at the age of 22, really early, to pursue drums and percussion and, you know, study music and pursue the music path. And during that journey, I was all confronted with my own stuff, like a lot of emotional suffering, depression, and not being able to fit in, and questioning life, and all of that, obviously. Right? So, you know, over the course of a few years, I came across certain teachings, just looking for answers. And essentially, I came across Carl Gustav Jung's work, the Swiss psychologist, you know, who coined the word the shadow, which is basically the aspects within our own psyche we have suppressed and most often project outwardly. We see it in the world or in other people, but not in ourselves. And most often when we get triggered, have a high emotional reaction to something, it shows that our own shadow is activated, right? So most often, you know, by definition, the shadow is unconscious, so for the most part, we are not aware of it. And it can create a lot of suffering because the psyche is always striving towards wholeness, right? The inner and outer is not separated. And most often then the shadow is being presented to us, you know, in the outside world in terms of, especially in relationships or certain situations we get ourselves into, and it always appears in the same way, but maybe in different disguises. You know, it most often comes out in intimate relationships or close relationships. Right. So in my own process, I really needed to understand that concept of shadow, which, by the way, has also been a bit distorted in the new age, in this day and age, where it's kind of oversimplified in the sense when you know, there's a saying, when you spot it, you got it, or whatever you see in somebody else is your own stuff. Right.
Right.
Well, there's some truth to it to a degree, but you cannot oversimplify it that way. Right.
Right.
So, so in my own process, doing deeper work, and also I was introduced early on, you know, my own process to psychedelics and medicine plants, and in particular psilocybin mushrooms have helped me to uncover more of that part and really dig deep and realize how a lot of stuff I was dealing in my present life in my early 20s was actually related to childhood wounding, right? Stuff I went through in my childhood. I didn't have a terrible childhood by any means, but no parents were perfect, right? And we all were growing up in a pathological, quote-unquote, society that has normalized pathology, and then going through the educational system, you know, public schooling, which only makes you, you know, trains the brain and memory and information, but doesn't really teach you emotional intelligence, let alone body-mind, the body-mind connection, all of that. All right, so, you know, for example, a basic shadow aspect can be in intimate relationships. Whatever we have not received from our parents in terms of nurturing and attention and all of that, which because of their own wounding or narcissistic tendencies were not able to give us. And there's no need to blame our parents either, right? Because everybody's wounded to a degree and they were always did the best they could. But if that is not brought to consciousness, then we look for that what we have not received in childhood in another partner, right? So we project onto the other person, most often in the romantic phase. And, you know, there are also two aspects. There can be the positive shadow when we see all these amazing qualities in the person, you know, and project onto them, but doesn't really reflect who they really are. You know, that positive shadow projection can also come out in celebrity worship or leader worship or anybody public we see and actually project our own positive potential in another person, right? And then there is a negative shadow projections when we project hate and anger, disgust at all the people we don't like or how they behave and gossip and talk shit about them and all of that. And there's also our own denied shadow, you know, something that we also would be capable of but haven't really owned or really worked through, so to speak, or actually it's part of ourselves, but we only see it in other people. So that's it kind of in a nutshell. It's you know, as I said, it's not that black and white, and it goes a bit deeper than that. But that kind of, I think, sums it up.
Right, right. Well, and then also you did a webinar with one of my frequent guests, Evie Lorgan, and you had Tom Montauk and a few others on there, and it's an excellent discussion, panel discussion. She wrote the book, The Love Bite. Which is a whole other subject about how we can be deceived and go down the wrong road of thinking that we're in love, quote unquote. But I was just reading your blog, and one of the top posts. If people go to the blog on Veil of Reality, there's a sidebar that says top posts, and it has some really fascinating material that goes, I say, far beyond most people's ability to see, basically. And, you know, we're all kind of like blind people with canes trying to figure out what's going on here. And you really do take quite a bite out of it. Would you like to talk a little bit about what you see as the way that the world really works that that you talk about in your articles? Because I think you really have hit the nail on the head.
Well, first of all, a disclaimer, I don't have all the answers.
Right, right.
You know, it's just, you know, also maybe to let the listeners know about my work, and most of it is just, you know, first of all, I never planned on becoming a writer. Or doing videos or all of that, you know, was just, you know, I came here to just do the music thing. But, you know, basically through my own suffering, I was forced, you know, to like dig deeper. And then one thing led me to another thing as I was tumbling down the rabbit hole. And certain books and teachings and stuff just appeared at the right time. And I always felt there was a guiding hand behind it all or pushing me gently in a certain direction. And in that process, I also found my other talent as a body worker and doing healing work and all of that. But, you know, my approach was always early on very holistic, like looking at everything. I never just focused on one thing or just based everything on one modality, teaching or concept or whatever, right? And a lot of my writings, is, when people read it, can see that a lot of it is based on my own experiences. So I share a lot of my own stuff, my process, my own issues or pitfalls that I've gone through, trials and errors, initiations, and then combine it with research I do and connect the dots, which kind of confirms my own experiences or helps me expand the view and whatnot. And, you know, essentially, you know, everything really blew open when I explored, got deep into the UFO and alien topic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really opened up the whole reality of hyperdimensional entities and beings, because what I realized early on that the UFO phenomena is not this nuts and bolts phenomena like a lot of people assume it is, like physical spaceships coming from distant planets or physical aliens and, you know, abducting us, which is also very distorted on a physical level, or just examining us or providing us with information or saving us, like the New Age distorts it with the whole idea of the Galactic Federation of Light or Space Brothers and whatnot. Right, but I realized that there's a paraphysical phenomena behind it, and then some researchers really have pointed it out even early on, in particular John Keel as well as Jacques Vallée, right? That that you know, Jacques Vallée even said that the UFO phenomena is more paraphysical phenomena that acts like a control system on humans. Mm. And John Keel also pointed out in his research, especially Operation Trojan Horse, that this phenomena adjusts itself to the belief system of humanity. And if you look back into the past, even ancient past, this whole alien UFO, quote-unquote, phenomena has been around for thousands and thousands of years, but was interpreted in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the days, as demons or fairies or even certain esoteric teachings, they talk about the general law that keeps humanity in its place and works through your own mind. And we have Castaneda's teachings, the predator, right? The predator mind that came out of space, took over humans' bodies. You have the archons from the Gnostic teachings, or the jinns from Arabian mythology. So you see it all across the board, every culture, so to speak, interpreted in their own ways and language, depending on the time. And nowadays, with modern, you know, civilization, whatnot, people tend to interpret it more in this high-tech, you know, spaceship manifestation, almost like a lot of people seem to have very influenced by Hollywood movies and have this Star Trek or Star Wars idea of this UFO phenomena, or, you know, influenced by ridiculous blockbusters like Independence Day or any nonsense like that, right? Like in terms of like a physical invasion or physical, like everything is just so much on the physical level, right? But it's really a hyperdimensional aspect that influences us in many ways. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I came to the realization, which a lot of ancient teachings have talked about as well, that humanity is in fact not on top of the food chain. And food is not necessarily physical food, but consciousness is food. And they are light eaters and try to keep us in a certain frequency, like a frequency prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep us stuck in ego consciousness, 3D survival, you know, and create all kinds of confusion, war, fear, suffering, which they initiate and work through us or through other people, and that, you know, most people are, not most people, everybody is influenced by these forces to one degree or another, and this whole idea of free will is actually an illusion in many ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Gurdjieff, and I remember we talked about briefly on Facebook, Gurdjieff, you know, he talked about that as well, you know, his metaphor of the evil magician. And he also talked about the general law and all of that. So in my work, I tie this in, you know, back to your original question, coming from different angles. And really, you know, it was a big disillusionment for me as well. It's not like I write these articles and hear this information. It was also shocking for me to see certain come to terms with certain information, you know, or the idea that not everybody has a full embodied soul, but they're organic portals who are then occupied by these entities and not... And it kind of blows up the whole idea that we are one, we are all the same. We are one from a higher perspective, but there are vast different levels of being in terms of inner wiring when it comes to individual people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that really ties it all together. And then through my own hard lessons, you know, like battling, having been in like literally hyperdimensional warfare and battling with these beings through my own mind or through other people receiving attacks, I also realized... you know, you cannot blame these entities or beings or get yourself into victim consciousness. You need to understand how they operate, how it works, kind of know thy enemy, and take responsibility,
mm-hmm.
right? Because in the right. end, what Tom Montag also, I really like his work as well, also pointed out, you can utilize these entities as teachers because they can only get to you where your weak spots, blind spots and wounds are, right?
Right.
That's how they interject. And that's why also psychological work has its limits, has its limitations. You know, even Jungian psychology has its limitations. I think it's great, works to a certain degree, but not everything which we encounter is just our own shadow, right? There are other realities separate from our own and that influence us from a higher level, right? So So I realized, you know, in my own process, in terms of healing and really anchoring that higher frequency, so we don't become subjected to these interferences and attacks. And, you know, looking even deeper into it, I realized, you know, how it goes back thousands and thousands of years and that we have been most likely genetically modified by these alien hyperdimensional entities
mm-hmm.
to have cut us off from our original blueprint, from our full DNA potential to keep us in this frequency prison. It's a prison without walls. Right,
mm-hmm.
and we're being distracted by focusing on 3D issues like politics and all this stuff, which are the shadows on the wall, because the real architects of this matrix are behind the scenes and even using politicians and psychopaths as puppets themselves, which they are not aware of whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. you know, so I just you know, I'm still learning, and I'm even like looking back. There are certain things, you know. You know, I was kind of stuck in the New Age at some point. I totally admit it, because once you, you know, start questioning, and, you know, I was just taking in information like a sponge and not very being very discerning, a lot of wishful thinking or dealing with my own cognitive dissonance. So I also realized early on that you need to engage in this sincere body inner work. You're, you know, checking your own bias, checking your own emotional intelligence and all of that. And also realizing that the mind or intellect is limited and there's only so much we can quote-unquote know just by studying and reading information, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just wrote a recent essay, a long one again, where I talk about the information overload and the trap of the rabbit hole, so to speak, because you can get lost there. I've seen people getting lost there in the
mm-hmm.
rabbit hole
mm-hmm.
for all the disinformation, or they're just so stuck on head-centric, you know, disembodied thinking, and sometimes also just get hooked on sensationalism or just curiosity, and it has not much to do with truth-seeking anymore. And we forget the whole quote-unquote aim and goal of the times we're in, which is the emancipation process, the quote-unquote ascension process, to transcend the matrix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot really fight it or transform it, because evil has its place. That's what I also found out was a disillusionment for myself, because from a higher perspective, even so-called evil has its own free will. It is part of creation. It is part of the one universe creator, whatever you may want to call it, experiencing itself subjectively in this duality we live in. Right?
Right.
And I personally like the quote-unquote cosmology or framework as Tom Montag uses as well, right? The seven density model and explaining the duality of dark and light via service to self and service to others, right?
Right.
And it also, because it takes away the judgment, because neither choice is wrong. From a higher perspective, it has all validity. It's just what you align yourself with, right? So in the end, there's nothing wrong with reality. It's not about Michael Topper wrote an excellent piece about it in his article, The Higher Realms of Densities. Where he writes, the whole idea that, you know, reality is wrong or evil needs to be rebelled with and done away with is actually coming from a service to self SDS consciousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about, you don't want to go the opposite end, the whole New Age, and denying evil or just like everything is fine, we don't need to do anything. No, you need to understand how it works and also then understand what you align yourself with in terms of frequency, really understanding what service to others and service to self actually means. Sometimes people have big misunderstandings about these terms. And then transcend the matrix. And that's, I feel, what we're in right now. You know, as long as people you know, get upset and try to, like, even what I heard from people, kill the psychopaths or engage in violent revolt. And, you know, it's all ties actually into shadow projection. And that is what they want. They want us to get really emotionally riled up, because what they are after is really just that frequency.
Right,
the frequency,
right,
of divide and conquer, of good cop versus bad cop. And you see it very well played out in the political arena right now. You know, for me, it's almost a litmus test at this point, because politics and government is the most basic setup of the Matrix control system.
Yeah.
So if
you
buy into that, if you identify yourself with any party, I don't care what, left,
right,
middle, liberal, progressive, conservative, anything.
Yeah, any
Matrix
of them.
Has you, right?
They've
you
got buying, you. Yep.
It's a trap of agreement, and boom, you're in it.
You're in
playing
it.
Playing the divide and conquer game.
Yeah.
Right.
And the same thing with religion. You know, that's the word "loosh" comes up of all of the energy that is projected from humans, and basically, I see this as a human farming operation. And the negative forces are consumed by those who enjoy that kind of delicate cuisine, and
right.
And then the religious worship is another spectrum of the quote positive side. So they are the light and the dark at the same time.
Right. Well, the whole worship thing that ties is also loose. What the entities feed off of, because any quote unquote worship, obviously in the religious sense of somehow God being this guy in the sky, you know, the distortion of religion. Or even the worship, quote-unquote, like politicians or celebrities or
celebrities.
Leaders in general.
Yeah.
Basically, this authority programming. Or in the New Age with all these ascended masters and positive aliens. Like, that is actually always a trap of agreement. And you just, because you give away your own power. That's it. You give away your own sovereignty and your own personal connection to spirit and the divine.
Yep.
And it also attracts entities, especially New Age, that are negative entities but pose as positive ones. You see, there's a lot of channeled material or in the Galactic Federation of Light and quote-unquote positive aliens and all of that. Because true positive entities, and there are positive beings out there, absolutely, who also assist us, but they don't give in to worship. You know, they don't just come whenever you beg for it. You know, they understand from a higher perspective. They have all the wisdom and understanding and knowledge what the whole purpose of this is, and it's about the evolution of consciousness. And we need to learn the lesson in our own way for our own personal soul evolution. To build, to, like Gurdjieff said, to build the soul, to build the...
Right, right. Do we have to complete ourselves that we're born... with the potential to be fully conscious, but we're not. And we have to take responsibility for completing our own consciousness. And you point this out in many of your essays, that one of the problems is that we are worked on through the unconscious levels, and that's where agreements are made unconsciously, and we don't realize because it's not conscious. So part of the work that you're talking about is dealing with bringing the shadow or the darkness into the light of your own consciousness. And once it's seen and awareness is brought to it, it can't be unseen.
Exactly, and that's a true meaning. I mean, ironically, you know, there's this whole talk in the New Age about light workers, but a true light worker is actually a shadow worker. You increase your light by making the darkness conscious, and even Carl Jung said you don't become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious.
Right, right.
Right. So, and then also there's a trap in that, because then I see, which I also talked about in my last essay and I've done before, sometimes we get stuck in the rabbit hole, in the shadow work, right, where we're just, I like the analogy of only focus on pulling out the weeds and only see the dark and even get into paranoia and even see conspiracies where there are non-conspiracies and forget to water the flowers, right?
Right.
So we need to take care of ourselves and establish healthy self-love, which has nothing to do with narcissism, but, you know, making boundaries, taking care of ourselves, you know, which oftentimes just include simple things, like especially in this day and age, get off the screen, get off Facebook, get off internet, you know, go into nature.
Yeah.
Swim in the ocean, right? Walk barefoot. get off away from this technology and kind of connect to the present moment, because spirit and nature informs us every day and gives us guidance if we can truly tune into it and listen to it through the body. The body is key. It's about tapping into our own body technology, right? And again, the matrix control system, the way it's designed, especially this day and age, is to keep us disembodied, to keep us head-centric with all this technological overstimulation. And we've seen it recently with this crazy Pokemon Go hype, you know, which is just, it's surreal. It looks like a zombie apocalypse with all these people glued to their phones, just walking around, catching some virtual, you know, Pokemons or whatever. And it just it's just also a good prime, you know, I see this as a good priming to introduce more AI, more technology. It goes way beyond just data mining, but really like screws with people's consciousness.
Right. Well, too, there's, you know, we're not going to be able to find nature pretty soon because, you know, we've become so isolated from it. And then cities especially, they're set up to be... sacred geometry set up on basic sacred geometry reversed, and so the dream time is not as accessible. And then, you know, you're walking in shoes all day, and you're constantly, your focus is being pulled out, and so the energy is your bank account, your for consciousness, and our focus is being pulled out, and then organic aspects are being literally wiped out as we speak, you know, with chemtrails and radiation. In San Francisco, they have meters that are they've installed at head height, and they are read now by digital means, and so there's radiation coming out of those meters.
Wow.
And so people are walking through the city getting blasted. Their brains are being fried, and if that's not enough, you've got Wi-Fi towers that fry them. You know, with cell phones, and you know, it's just a never-ending maze of virtual reality that we're being led into, it would seem.
Exactly. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, and it's like you said, so much is happening on that level, the way we're being manipulated, in ways most people have no clue about, you know.
Oh, and yeah,
especially
scary.
With technology, and you know, I agree with the whole city frequencies. I mean, been living out in nature now for 10 years, and luckily I live in an area, I don't have cell phone reception, so I don't get the cell phone radiation, which I'm very grateful for, and I also don't have Wi-Fi in my house. Wi-Fi it's such a huge issue. I find kind of ironic so many people still have Wi-Fi, but at the same time talk about the Matrix and how we'll be they don't want to go off that comfort, right? Comfort is the
Part
of the soul. Like, I want to have that... You know, and people become desensitized, especially in the city, so they don't feel even how they're being affected by all this radiation or suppression and all this stuff, you know. And I was even talking to a fellow researcher, beyond the damage that this radiation has on our physical and energetic body, these waveforms, be it Wi-Fi or whatever, also being used by hyperdimensional entities like highways to get to us, so to speak, like to tap into.
Right.
And like, for example, like I haven't had Wi-Fi now in like, what, 4 years or so, and really changed my quality of living for the better, my sleep quality for the better.
Mm.
Even like a few weeks ago, I turned my Wi-Fi on again for a day because I was lazy and I wanted to do some work in my bed on my laptop. And I shut down my computer, went to bed, but I didn't turn it off for the night. And I woke up in the middle of the night sweating, having nightmares. I've gotten so sensitive to it. It's like... Woof, you know, even when I'm in the city, it's like I just feel other people's energy and all this, you know, Wi-Fi everywhere and all this friction and frequency. I'm always like, when I drive back into the canyon, I can actually start breathing again. So modern life, so we're being also enslaved by our own free will. People, that's what I mean, like, and that's really key to understand how the Matrix works, especially from a hyperdimensional perspective. Because as Michael Topper pointed out, these entities or beings, they don't want to destroy us. They don't want to just come over like we're seeing like this alien invasion Hollywood movies and enslave us like martial law. in order, like you said, the luge, the food to be tasty and nutritious, it needs to, they need us to engage in free will to align with their agenda. It's called a tribe of agreement, to agree to certain things, right? On a soul level, because on some complex, you know, metaphysical law of free will, they cannot just, and that's actually also key to understand how protection works, or the transcendence of the matrix, right? Because they cannot get to us if we wouldn't agree with it, right? Consciously or unconsciously. So our free will, or humanity's free will, is being manipulated to an extent that people align with their agenda, which they don't even know it is a negative agenda, because most, as Topa said, most often Satan appears as angels of light, right? So in order to, for the quote-unquote food of our conscience to be nutritious, we need to engage, you know, out of our own free will, and the way it's manipulated is through creating a very robotic, mind-controlled humanity where people dream to be awake, but they are full asleep under the illusion of free will. And that's really what we're seeing right now happening. Right.
Yeah, at every level and at every turn. I mean, there's literally no place where you can go where that isn't happening.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about the technological gadgetry that's beaming from the moon or Mars or underground bases that's also designed to manipulate and control. And I've heard that even the Vatican has chambers underneath that it has a certain priest go in and chant certain things all day and all night to influence the minds of those who can be influenced. And, of course, I see that as not having free will. If you're, you know, it is having free will in a sense that you're free to be unconscious and be controlled and manipulated, but on the other hand, it's taken away from you so that you don't have the power to think,
right?
You know, with fluoride in the water and
right,
all the other ways that they use to dumb us down and shut off the pineal gland, we're not really given the opportunity to think clearly. So I kind of have an issue with that, because I do think that we should have at least know at some point the mask should all come off, and we should be able to see everything just as it is and who's doing what, and everything should be transparent. And then if we decide that we liked it better as slaves, being consumed and reincarnating thousands of times as food, then why not? Yeah, you could do what you want, but I would choose not to. So,
yes.
But it doesn't seem we have much of a chance, you know, especially when a baby is born, it's given something like 50 vaccinations.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's getting worse. It's getting worse. Yeah.
And
I'm not into fear mongering or being like pessimistic, whatever. But I think it really comes down to the notion of also questioning what do we say when we say we. You know, because I see it a lot in the quote unquote truth movement. Some, you know, people kind of falling into the be it victim consciousness or savior complex of just we need to save the world and this and we, but nobody ever questions the idea of we, right?
Which
before, that we are not maybe all the same inside, and not everybody is here actually.
Right.
A centaur being that some people actually from a soul level are here to experience the quote-unquote dark side, right?
Right.
And again, there's no judgment behind
exactly
that. So it's just about making that choice on the frequency. It all comes to down to frequency vibration, like as Nikola Tesla said, you know, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think of frequency and vibration. But it is not, again, the New Age has distorted that, the idea of frequency and vibration, that you just need to think always positive thoughts, don't look at the dark, and then you will increase your, you know, energy, frequency and vibration. And no, that actually creates more dissociation and creates more shadow aspect. The only way out is through. And you see it depicted in the mythology or the archetypal hero of the journey, where the hero goes into the underworld, right, and liberates the princess, which he marries, which has been turned into like a romance story or like Hollywood's love story. Most Hollywood movies are based on the hero's archetype. But what it actually means is that the hero frees his own feminine aspect of consciousness.
Right.
His own divine, you know, that's because we have lost, you know, we're so in this patriarchy nowadays, in this day and age, male-dominated, and it's actually not that much male-dominated, but more like Philip Shepard talked about in his book, New Self, New World, a patriarchal society that's regardless of gender, but is kind of addicted to the male aspect of doing and head-centric seeing, thinking and willful doing, and disconnected from the body, disconnected from the inner guidance in the pelvic floor and the, what Qigong, they call it Dantian in the gut, which is connected to nature and the divine and is able to listen to nature through the body.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we've been disconnected from, and through the work and esoteric work or deeper spiritual work, it's about reconnecting to that feminine aspect of being, regardless
right.
of gender, and it's about the alchemical marriage of the inner male and female.
Exactly.
And that's how we connect to our own inner authority, to spirit, our own embodied sovereignty. And as long as people are not embodied in that way, they will always look for others to lead them.
Right. So. We're doomed to look for our lover, our soulmate, our whatever it is, our duplicate, and that is a chase that we can that will always set us off the wrong path because it's not interrelated. And so the two halves of our own inner male and female never get joined because we don't understand that it's an inner process.
Yes.
So the marriage is an internal alchemical thing. And isn't it interesting that there is a reptilian brain right in the center of the right and left halves of the brain?
Yeah.
Very interesting place to put that.
I mean, that's really tight. That's the big thing, how we have been genetically modified by these entities, and they kind of created us in, quote-unquote, their image, you know, which put the whole question in, like, the Bible and God created us in his image, and yada, yada. Who were these gods, so to speak, anyway, right, who, quote-unquote, created us?
Right.
And how it begins most of my they always take the thought as their own. We are not really grounded in this embodied presence. And that embodied union of the inner male and female, that really, like I mentioned before, then raises our vibration and frequency. And that helps us to transcend, again, the matrix rather than trying to fight it, right? Rather than to engage in the game.
Right, because all that energy of fighting things is just lost energy.
Exactly, you project it outwardly, you know.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, you know, be passive. Like, there's a lot of misunderstanding with the female aspect of consciousness of just being. Like, being doesn't mean just being passive, right? It's fuel. It's very sensitively attuned to the present, and out of being, then perfect action arises, which is in alignment with divine will. You know, in the end, we are transducers of higher energies. It's just, you know, we always influenced by higher energies. It's just what we align ourselves with as positive or negative, so to speak. And also then understanding that the ego is just a tool and not making it the master, right? And then, you know, that also ties into what I've written about in my last essay about how reality creation really works. You know, that has also been distorted in the New Age, you know, the secret and all of that, the idea that we can just manifest or do whatever we want to do and think of any desire we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, first of all, most people's desires are socially conditioned, and then they're trying to manifest something to fulfill, like you said, something that is lacking within us, be it relationship,
right.
money, or whatever, you know? But it's really to tap into our own soul essence and soul calling, and then the more you in this process, then your own will, you make your ego, your whole being as a servant for spirit, little will becomes the same as divine will, so you don't even need to engage in any of these manifestation techniques then, because you're in alignment, right?
Right, right.
That doesn't mean that the path is without obstacles, because, you know, as in all ancient esoteric teachings is talked about, or even from a hyperdimensional perspective, the moment people awake and somebody takes a red pill and engage in sincerely in seeking truth and doing work on themselves, there will be a counter-reaction of hyperdimensional forces. You become a prime target because they don't want to lose their food source, right?
Right.
So you put certain attention on you, and the attacks most often comes through others who act as portals or through yourself. So there's initiation, and even there's esoteric teaching that talk about the threshold, the fighting with war and the hero and the underworld, fighting with demons or dragons, right? All of that, that's part of the journey. It's not like all bliss, love, and light. It's
a lot of
disillusionment, and you're being like burnt in the fire of transmutation, basically, alchemical fire.
And if you're lucky, so
it's not an easy path. And you know, you saw, I think, the best film that ever depicted that on the esoteric level is The Matrix. And I'm not sure a lot of people actually see it that way, but it's a great example. You know, when Neo takes the red pill or just tries to escape The Matrix, the moment he does it, Agent Smith is being put on him, right, to try to get him back. And you know, if you saw, Agent Smith also inserted himself through other people trying to get to Neo. So it's a great depiction of how it works. And also, obviously, in The Matrix, these machines, quote-unquote, feed off, use humans as battery, right, as sucking off their life force. So it's a great analogy.
Yeah, it's a wonderful set of films. The Wachowski brothers, I don't know where their inspiration came from, but they're kind of a mystery to most of us normal humans.
You know what I think with a lot of art, music, or films, be it positive or negative, a lot of artists are being inspired in ways it's not even consciously. You know, the Wachowski brothers or sisters, as they are now.
Right.
You know, may as well have unconsciously, like, quote-unquote, channeled something or inspired by something and didn't even know what the deep implication, meaning of what they were actually doing, right?
True.
On another hand, I feel also like a lot of Hollywood blockbuster BS, which kind of feeds into the agenda, you know, of manipulating people, is also being inspired by quote-unquote negative entities outside the awareness of the or directors involved.
Right. You know, another one of the Wachowski brothers' films that kind of describes the human condition in terms of human farming operation is Jupiter Rising. And I don't know if you've seen that one, but it is about galactic civilizations that seed various planetary realms, and they raise humans to be farmed at a certain time. And they just literally set it all up, and then they collect their
investment.
Yes. You know, which is no different than what farmers do when they grow corn or, you know, whatever. Now, corn is all GMO, so there's a little twist on it, but...
Right. Well, we are, ironically, we are GMOs. We are genetically modified organisms.
Absolutely. if we're lucky.
But, you know, I have seen the film. It's a good film. You know, I was, personally, I was a bit disappointed. There was some great, you know...
And
therefore, people who kind of... Already in that topic, they can see these hints and deeper truths, but for my sake, it was a bit too much on the action.
I thought that too.
Some of the script and acting and too much of, like, boy saves girl kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, you probably liked his other film, Cloud Atlas.
Oh, one of my favorites.
I think that was a superb piece of work. It took me two times watching it to even get it.
Yeah, most people didn't like it because it's a challenge for people's attention span to kind of keep
up. Right. Right. But the acting and the storyline and the deep feelings that are evoked from it, and the intrigue and the humor, and I mean, it really was a wonderful, wonderful film.
No, it was one of the few movies I saw it in the movie theater, and as the credits rolled down, I was so in awe, and I started crying. I just because I was so touched, it was like, oh my god, you know. And also, like, you know, it made watching a movie really made me really humble in terms of the humanity of the unknown.
Yeah,
because there's
yeah.
so much happening at the same time, so much is going on within, and I see it in my own personal life because I've worked with so many people one-on-one, right, be it my bodywork practice or coaching practice, and I realize how everybody's so unique in dealing with their own personal stuff, mm-hmm. on a soul level, and there's so much we don't know. What do I really know? What other purpose people's soul
is? Yeah.
What they're dealing from a karmic level, soul evolution, their talents, gifts, what they're dealing with, interference, and all this stuff, it's impossible for the mind to grasp it all. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
And then, like, yeah, past lives and all, you know, which is beautifully depicted in Cloud Atlas, and how everything is kind of like connected in ways we have no awareness of, because we're so caught in our linear, you know, five sensory perception.
Yes, and how important our choices are.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, one choice leads in one direction, and another choice leads in an entirely different direction.
And that's key. That choice is key again. And really, that's where I think what comes down to be able to make conscious choices.
Yeah.
You know, and understand how, and I'm still learning, you know, I sometimes feel myself more tuned in and really like in the present moment and really, you know, coming from a place of being. And sometimes I can be also reactionary and you know, get into thought loops and then make... You know, I don't believe in wrong or good decisions, whatever. It's all there's are lessons, right?
Right, right.
But you know, everything has a butterfly effect, so to speak.
Right.
But it's, especially in this day and age, it is about choice and understanding really how, you know, the manipulation works also on such subtle levels. It's really not that obvious. It's not, you know, people, get too much distracted with the 3D aspect of the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of my guests, Ole Damegård from Sweden, has been researching various conspiracies that regard false flags and Hollywood movie star murders and politician murders and musician murders. And he has made some real great strides in connecting the dots. And I remember one time Jay Widener was on the show, and he was just absolutely blown away that all of these false flags, you know, the school shootings and the this and the that, just about everything you could that hit the news was all established and set up and scripted. And some of those players were paid money for the parts. Some of the players in those parts moved from script to script. And he even describes how they get the effect of the cameras and what cameras they use. And it's just really astonishing that these things can go on and be so believable. And it's like an enormous stage play that's being pulled here. And there must be a lot at stake to invest so much time and energy in frightening the shit out of us, you know, and creating these little horrible, nasty dramas that are so unnecessary. I mean, really, if you think about it. But they are necessary
from, you know, but you see, control. But they're becoming desperate, right?
Yes, yeah.
It's all about, you know, again, from a hyperdimensional perspective, it's about creating that fear frequency. That's what they feed off, right? So
right.
You've got to keep people in check with that.
And what's funny, too, is that the New Age stimulated all that warm feeling about the galactic civilizations and the Pleiadians and the Arcturians and all of the channeling that went on probably from, you know, some sub-layer of the, you know, black ops people that are projecting all that stuff. And there's technology that can beam information right through a planet. So they know how to do stuff. And... You know, I fell for it hook, line, and sinker until I start seeing through it. And you hear the same platitudes, and then you start to have feelings of emotion for the very same people that are our captors or that would like to be are the next rulers of the galactic realms that we inhabit. And there's a lot at stake here. And so, you know, that's going on, too, that there's this a war for our minds and our hearts as well.
Right. Well, it's the archetypal battle of dark and light, and it's exponentially increasing, and it's literally
mm-hmm.
working through us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you see that coming to a head in some particular way? I mean, there's so much talk about an event,
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, I think I wrote about this in my last essay as well. I've been like on this path for the past 20 years, and probably about the same time, I've heard all the same predictions over and over. Anything which never happened. Sometimes
right.
I don't want to like call out certain people in New Age, but they made dates based on their dreams. Whatever never happened. Be it on the quote unquote positive, all kinds of like disclosure and the government finally revealing information about UFOs, which never happened and will never happen, simply because the government has also on the outside has no clue what's really going on, and they're just puppets themselves, right?
Right.
So, and then be it more the negative events from like full on economic collapse that U.S. is descending into a third world country, which was supposed to happen 15 years ago.
I lost count,
I've heard about the nuclear war, third world war, and humiliated, so that's coming up again. So it's always the same, but, you know, here's the thing, like, that's also part of the Matrix.
Yeah.
How that fits in with getting people in this state of, like, future-based illusory thinking.
Right.
Stuck in linear time and not realizing that the future is open, right?
Right,
the future is open. There are infinite few probabilities. Yes, we're on a certain course based on the pattern we're on right now.
Mm.
But as I suggested in my last essay, I feel we're more and more entering a quote-unquote timeline reality split, right?
Mm.
Because not everybody's here to awaken.
And the
splitting between people, I see in my own life, and you certainly see in the world stage, it's becoming more apparent, right? I see on one level definitely more and more people waking up, especially to the hyperdimensional reality. I mean, definitely, especially with my work, I've gotten more attention about that for the past few years, as opposed to 10 years ago when nobody would take that stuff seriously, really.
Right.
You know? And then on the other hand, I see more and more people fawning illusion, even a lot of people call themselves spiritually awake and aware, but still vote or buy into the government game or, you know, fall into the Bernie Sanders wagon, or just get distracted with projecting all the stuff on Clinton and Trump, which is also, you know, feeds the, you know, all that's another little things like that. If people get upset about Trump and project all the hate on anger onto him, it's the perfect food for those critters.
That's
all they want, you know, and
absolutely.
Then he plays his role and people feed into that.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's also important in this process of awakening to really establish this zero-point non-reactive state of being and consciousness, where you don't give away your energy, you don't become reactive, but you respond, and there's a big difference, right?
So,
I don't know, like, they're coming to some major event, you know, like, when you look at anything that has happened, even false flag attacks, it always happened when nobody expected it. Nobody really ever truthfully predicted a certain, you know what I mean? Then afterwards, people come out and said they predicted it, but who knows?
Well,
you know?
Some of the Simpsons cartoons.
Yeah, there's that, you know, but see, we see this in TV. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but you're right. I mean, I see it in the Simpsons or other movies, and it's called predictive programming, but when it happens in the moment, you're not aware of it.
Right.
You're aware of it once it happens, and you look back.
Right. Surprise.
That's how mind control, basic mind control on the metaphysical level operates as well.
It's
the trap of agreement, you know, and all of that.
And you've been on a panel with Tom Montauk, right? He's
Tom, Eve Lorgan, Laura Leon.
Oh, wonderful
Tom's
work. Brother. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too bad that it happened in the first place, but it's nice to have people that have been on the inside now talking about it and sharing, you know, the truth about it.
No, that was you're referring our last because we did one just focused on the love, alien love, bright and dark side of Cupid, and our recent one was more in general about hyperdimensional interference.
Now, one of my friends has been on the show quite a few times, and he has been working with the idea that the Matrix is nine dimensional and it's also intergalactic. So. If that's even a possibility, which of course it is a possibility, then that would mean it's a lot bigger and a lot smarter than what we might be thinking here from our egocentric viewpoints sitting in our chairs on planet Earth. you know, in 3D.
So, well, yes, it's interesting. Somebody in the past interview asked me something similar about what I think about this nine-dimensional idea or 12-dimension, this framework and this.
Right.
Like I said before, all these are just frameworks, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which have their own limitations. And I said before, what works for me, I've worked all these years. I use the same framework as Tom Montag used, which is the seven-density model and the explaining duality via service to self and service to others. And I hear always people when I write stuff, or even our last webinar, there's way more to it, there was way more to it, you only covered this, I mean, and all of that. And I'm like, of course there's always more to it, right? Always more. But, you know, I mentioned that as well in my past essay, you can drive yourself nuts trying to figure out on detail how the matrix works, because your mind, on an intellectual level, will never ever grasp it.
Oh, no, you know? No, no, it won't. And it'll drive
you
crazy.
And also from an esoteric perspective, yes, we need to study, research, take in information, be discerning, but higher knowledge, true higher knowledge, gnosis, as it's called, cannot be perceived by the mind, intellect, or five-sensory apparatus. It depends on our embodied frequency and our self-work, our esoteric soul evolution, to be able to perceive gnosis through the body, tuning into nature, the universe, spirit, and quote-unquote downloading information, which most often is impossible to put into the limiting constructs of language.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? So I see a lot of people, like I said before, just getting distracted of like, I call it almost, you know, it's like an intellectual fixation of like this dimension and these entities and this and that, you know.
Right.
And I'm not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. We need to have I think, especially people for us engaged in the awakening process and truth-seeking, have a good grasp and understanding of how the matrix, especially hyperdimensional matrix, works, right?
But once you have almost have to be run by artificial intelligence, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's come into play as well. But what is more important, what I see missing a lot in this quote-unquote scene is, how do we really protect, not only protect ourselves, but transcend it?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because I see a lot of people, and I've myself included, you can easily get into paranoia, right? Like, oh, my fluoride in the water, chemtrails, radiation, hyperdimensional entities, like, or like, what am I going to do? You know, people are just freaking out, and then, you know, even Sri Aurobindo talks about an integral yoga, or even Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan, in his teachings talks about, it's about raising the frequency, you know, through the embodiment process to a point where the predator can't get at you, right? So there's no frequency match, and that's how we also protect ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And even also not getting too much into paranoia with food and GMO, yes, it's not good, you know, but I see people sometimes get overly fixated on the diet and food and the physical aspect that they drive themselves nuts. You know, and also trusting our immune system, right? That
exactly.
We can also handle a certain degree of this bombardment and not be
exactly.
affected by it.
Well, you know, Bernard, that we could go on for at least another hour or two easily, but we're just about out of time, and so it's flown by really quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, it did. It was a nice talk, though.
And so I just want to thank you for being here and talking to me, and I just love, getting into these discussions. And if you have any events or websites that you want to mention again, this would be the time to do it.
Well, like as you mentioned before, there are two websites with my blog, writings, and films. It's veilofreality.com, and then my personal webpage, which is my name.com, BernhardGunther.com, which is about my integrative bodywork practice and holistic coaching. And also, I have started offering retreats, which I do with a very good friend, my Peruvian friend, Fred Clark Alvarez from Lima. I've known him for 10 years. And we're now doing bi-yearly, twice a year, retreats down in Peru for like 9 days in the jungle.
Oh, wonderful.
Where we kind of, combine it all from a holistic perspective to get people out of the city frequencies.
Right. Sounds great.
We kind of work together in a group, and yes, we work with medicine, but we also, in particular, Wachuma, which is San Pedro cactus, but just one ceremony. But more importantly, it's about the embodiment process on an experiential level. you know, teaching Qigong. We do hikes in the jungle, connect with nature.
There really is no time.
Practices.
Well, we're just right out of time, Bernard.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So they can check that out on your website, right?
Yes, exactly. So just go to my
Terrific.
Website. It's all there. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a million, and I enjoyed talking with you tonight.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you, brother. Take care. Have a good night.
You too.